Oh, stop it. No, I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 15, if you turn there in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 15. Kind of insulted. He downs the Yankees and he calls me up to preach, you know. What is that about? My goodness. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. If you go ahead and stand when you get there. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night. Thank you for the opportunity that I get to speak to these folks, Lord. I pray that, God, you would meet with us in the next few moments in a very special way, Lord. And, God, that you would tune us in on what you want, Lord, on your heartbeat, on what you care about, Lord. I pray that, God, you would help us all to put other things to the side and be able to focus on what you have to say to each one of us tonight, Lord. We know you didn't bring us here by accident. You brought us here for a reason, for a purpose, Lord. You have something to say to each person, each heart, and Lord, we pray that we would tune into that tonight. I pray that you would give me the help that I need. Forgive me my sins and fill me with your spirit. Focus me on the scripture, Lord. And God, help the people to see past me, hear the message from you, Lord. That's really what I want. I pray that, God, you would bless our time tonight. God, we pray that you would be very evident in the service tonight, God, and again, that you would draw us closer to you and help us to be more like you when we leave here tonight, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Luke chapter 15, as we look into this chapter of the word in the Word of God, the scene opens up with basically some snobs looking down on Jesus for receiving the sinners, the lowlifes of society of that day. And these sinners wanted to hear him. Verses 1 and 2, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, a publican would be a tax collector, very hated people back in the day because they sided with Rome. And also, how much do you like the tax man? You know what I'm talking about? So they didn't like the tax men back then. And then also they felt that they were traitors. And then also the sinners, which would be kind of the low-class people, just the common people. And the Pharisees and scribes show up in verse number 2. And they have some criticism for Christ. They say about him, probably not to his face, but probably amongst the crowd spreading the word somewhat. They're saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. How terrible is this, is what they're implying. How disgusting is this that he would do such a thing. And then in response to that, Jesus, he gives three parables basically in response to their criticism. Three parables throughout this chapter. You have the parable of the lost sheep, lost silver, and the lost son. And basically in all of these parables, there are things that are lost, and then later they're found. And then when they're found, the great joy that is experienced because of that. But as reading through this parable, and I'm sure this is probably familiar to everyone in this room, and I'm sure we've all heard it or heard about it, but you get to verse number 4 when Jesus is responding to these hypocrites, these Pharisees and scribes. You get down to verse number 4 and it says this. Jesus is asking them a rhetorical question. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the fold in the wilderness? And catch this next phrase that stuck out to me. And go after that which is lost until he find it. Amen. Jesus is asking them this rhetorical question. He's saying, listen, he's saying, if you had 100 sheep, you lose one of them. Which of you wouldn't go out there, make it his top priority, put everything else to the side of his agenda, and go out there and go after that which is lost? The obvious answer is nobody would do that. Obviously, everyone, if you lost something important to you, you'd go after it. You'd seek for it. You'd search for it. You'd put your best effort after it. And Jesus is asking these people this question. Hey, as we apply it to our lives, let us at Woodlawn Baptist Church never look down our noses at those who enter this place. And listen, when they enter this place, some of them are hurt and some of them are broken and some of them are needy and a lot of them are lost without Jesus Christ. How dare we imitate these scribes and Pharisees that we find in Luke chapter 15? They're the ones that need him the most. And would to God many sinners will come down these aisles in just a couple days on Easter Sunday and be gloriously saved by the grace of God. Listen, I want that to happen. And when that happens, that's going to be a great time of rejoicing. It's going to be a wonderful time of rejoicing when we hear that this person accepted Christ and that person accepted Christ, and maybe that person is already saved, but they're rededicating their life to the Lord. Listen, that's going to be a great time, a big celebration, a lot of rejoicing. But hold up a minute. Just got news for you, Woodlawn. If we don't do the work necessary, that rejoicing will never happen. Yeah, we would all say, oh, Brother Tom, I'm for it. Yeah, if people get saved Sunday, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be rejoicing. I'm going to be joyous. Man, I'm going to be in on that. But listen, unless we do our job and go out there and go at this, as this parable teaches us, go after the lost, it's never going to happen. Hey, folks, let me ask you something. How much do you go after the lost? How much do I go after the lost? Listen, how much are we seeking after them? How much does it enter our mind? I wonder if that person's going to heaven when they die. I wonder how much we think about it, how much we alter our agenda to find out and take some time to give somebody a track or to invite them to church and to maybe, if we have the chance, to witness to them and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder. Listen, this is not new for any of us, as I mentioned. This is a very simple parable with a very simple point to it. But this is what it's all about. Go after the lost. Amen. Go after the lost. Listen, help us be a church that goes after the lost, not just around Easter, or not just around Roundup, but all the time, every day of the year as we go after people. Listen, folks, it's important. It's important. I know we hear this all the time, but I'm asking you tonight, and many of you do already, but can you do more? Go after the lost. Listen, we don't know how much time we have or they have. Let's go after the lost before it's too late. I want you to consider a couple of ideas that come up in this parable here as we focus on this subject, going after the lost. I want you to see, first of all, this. Consider this with me. Number one, the crisis of the sheep. The crisis of the sheep. As we look into verse number 4, Jesus says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Go after that which is lost until he found it." The crisis of the sheep. Listen, in this story, I want you to think about right now the state, the condition of lost people. First of all, they're astray. It says he's lost. Now, by the way, Jesus representing the shepherd, he never lost anybody. You know why we get off track? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, we've decided to go do our own thing, to go our own way. So he's astray, he's lost, he's decided to go that way. Listen, his desires have pulled him that way. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He's been deceived by the father of lies, the devil, who's a liar and the father of it, and he's been that way from the beginning. The Bible talks about how sin is so deceitful, the deceitfulness of sin in Hebrews chapter 3, and then there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He's been deceived. That's why he's astray, that's why he's off track. And listen, the one behind all of it is the devil. He's blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me tell you something. The devil uses whatever he can and whoever he can to block people from the clear light of the gospel. That's what he does. I was talking to somebody earlier about it. And you know, it seems that there's so many religious groups and so many different churches and all this, and a lot of them don't preach the truth. They don't, flat out. They don't preach the truth. And I feel that the reaction of a lot of people out in the world today is they just get sick of it. They're saying, man, I hear this about this church and this preacher and that religious group. And they all are mixed together and they don't make any sense. They counteract and contradict each other. Man, just forget it all. I think that's how a lot of people in the world are, because they're just tired of hearing it. They just don't know which way to turn. They just don't know what to do. And they're astray. They're off track. Listen, folks, the crisis of the sheep, we have it portrayed by our Lord as a sheep getting lost. But that's how the world is. They're lost without Jesus Christ. They're astray. Not only are they astray, they're afraid. Can you imagine if you're out by yourself, afraid and scared? Listen, think about this for lost people, how they have to face the horrors and the terrors of life without a shepherd. Listen, folks, we go through a lot sometimes. We've had people lost loved ones and had cancer and go all kinds of immense and intense things that you've had to face. And that's hard for anybody to deal with. But you know what? We have a God.
We have a Savior. We have a shepherd. We have somebody we can lean on. We have the great comforter on our side. Listen, listen, that's great. Listen, because if you're a child of God, you have that available to you, and you ought to use it whenever you can. But think about folks that don't have that. Can you imagine that? Listen, losing my dad was the hardest thing I've ever had to endure. I can't imagine trying to deal with that by myself. Listen, people can be nice to you. People can try to help you, and many of you did at that time and helped my family immensely. But I tell you what, just be honest with you, that's very limited. It's very limited. Listen, God did for me what no one else could do. But I'm just saying, how about those people that don't know him? Can you imagine that? Folks, in case you haven't thought about this in a while, we're not the only ones that suffer trouble in here. We're not the only ones that suffer heartache in here. Listen, people in this room are not the only ones that sometimes get cancer or get a disease. We're not the only ones that suffer through losses of loved ones and people that we care about, friends and family members. Listen, people out there all around us, they're hurting, they're suffering, they're afraid. And they have no one to turn to. Mom and I were just, a couple nights ago, we were watching a show, and it didn't get overly graphic or whatnot, but the story was portrayed, and this is a little bit of a touchy thing, but you'll see where I go with it. The story that was portrayed was a man and a woman, they go on this date, and then this gang comes around, and basically, long story short, they rape the woman. And it's just a TV show, make-believe, whatever, you know? But Mom, that was serious, intense, how it affected that lady. And again, she's just an actor or an actress, but that happens to people, things like that, and the psychological scars and baggage that they have to deal with. That's what I'm talking about tonight, folks. That's what people have to deal with outside of these walls, all around us. I'm saying, how much do we care about it? How much do we think about it? The crisis of the sheep. The sheep is astray. The sheep is afraid. How do they handle it? How do they handle it all by themselves in a tough circumstance with seemingly nowhere to turn to? They're anxious. Every corner is a potential danger, a warning. Predators are after them. And they're alone. No one to help. No one to help them or comfort them or console them, guide them, be there for them. And another thing, they're not able. What I mean by that is they can't find their way back. Listen, folks, don't be surprised when sinners sin. Don't be surprised when sinners do dumb things. They can't help themselves. They don't know which way is up. Listen, sometimes we look at the world and say, how dare, how can they do this? Don't they have a brain? Can't they think? Listen, they don't have Jesus Christ. They don't have Jesus Christ like you and I do. They don't know better. They can't find their way back. And by the way, for the average person out there, they're not going to get saved on their own. They have no chance. Listen, I know that God reveals himself in the creation. If they respond to that, the light that he gives them, then he'll give them more light. I understand all that. But most people, as I said, the picture of religions nowadays is so blurry and so confusing, they've just given up on all of it. They've just blown off all of it, saying, man, I don't think anybody has the truth, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's the crisis of the sheep. Listen, that's people in a lost state without Jesus Christ. Nowadays, they're helpless. They're doomed. Listen, they got no chance, no shot to find it themselves. And perhaps even they're hurt and lame, and I'll get into that in just a moment. Listen, Brother Terry asked me about it earlier on Sunday night. I saw a new person that came in, and if you know Christy that comes to Brother Bill and Miss Joanne's class, Christy's been coming a long time, and she brought a friend Sunday night. And I kind of was kept in the back of my mind, you know, this is a new guy, he probably doesn't know Jeff, you know who I'm talking about, and during the invitation I saw him come up to pray. So I, long story short, I ended up talking to this guy, took him in the back, and he got saved, and I'm glad about that. Here's what he said to me, though. He said that he had grown up in a Christian home, a Pentecostal church that he went to. He told me since he was a kid, and that he had gone, Brother Bob, for years and years and years and years. And the sad thing to me is he had no clue about how to get saved. And thankfully, he knew that his friend Christy went to a church where they preached the truth. And he asked if he could go with her. And what a great thing that is. And it's joyous for us to be able to share the clear truth with people. But think about it. Listen, I know some Pentecostal churches, they preach the gospel, but obviously that one didn't. Listen, folks, how can a person, it's sad to me that a person could go to church week in and week out and be faithful to it, and their church still doesn't preach the truth. And they have no clue. If they were to die in that state, they'd go to hell from the church bench. Can you imagine that?
Tut, that doesn't compute for me. Whew. Unbelievable. But that's how a lot of people are, and he's a nice guy. Hopefully we can get him in your class, and he'll start being faithful to church. But I'm saying, the world is filled with those kind of people. Listen, I know it affects me too. Sometimes you run into the jerks and the meanies and all this, and after a while you just think, everybody's like that. Not everybody is like that. There are some people that are searching for the truth, but they don't know where to find it. And we better get it to them before it's too late. The crisis of the sheep. I want you to see, secondly, though, the concentration of the shepherd. Not only the crisis of the sheep, what lost people are going through, but I want you to see the concentration of the shepherd. Listen, shepherd's on a mission. Shepherd cares about this. He's going after it, and he's going after it hard. Verse number 4, once again, he said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and again that phrase, and go after that which is lost until he find it. Listen, this shepherd pictures Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. Listen, he's going after sinners. He's intense about it. He's passionate about it. Listen, it says he's seeking. He's going after it. He's on a serious mission. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In essence, he's saying, you can take this to the bank, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. You know why Jesus came? Not just to put on a good example, and not just to teach us a lot of nice things, and not just to do some miracles and feed some 5,000 with some fishes and bread. He came to die on that cross to save sinners. That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he came. Listen, it's saddening to me because Easter is a religious time of the year. And we have all this stuff going on, but how many people don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? It's not about bunnies. It's not about eggs. It's about a risen Savior. Amen. And because he lives, you can live too. Amen. That's what it's all about. The concentration of the shepherd. He's intense. He's passionate. He cares. He's on a serious mission. And he's searching. When I see he's searching, I see that desire that he's going after it. I see that he's driven, that he cares. And I see that he's single-minded. His focus is on the lost. Listen, throughout all these parables, basically what it's teaching us is that his focus is on the lost. That's what it is. He's saying, what man of you, if he have 100 sheep, if you lose one, he's going to go after it. He's going to go after it till he finds it. He gets down to verse number 8. He says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, she's going to diligently seek after it till she finds it. He's saying, listen, you lose something, your focus goes after that which is lost. We all do it. You don't care about your keys till you need to leave, right? Right? Is it in my other coat? We took that to the cleaners yesterday, you know. Great. I'm telling you, we focus on that which is lost. And Jesus says it's the same for me. I'm seeking after those that are lost. He's single-minded. His focus is centered on that. And I like the last part of verse number 4, until he find it. You know what that tells us? He doesn't stop. Even when we give up on people, sometimes the Lord doesn't. Until he find it. He's relentless. Does that mean everybody will be saved? No, it doesn't. Because they can still resist him till the day they die. And some people can cross over the line of God's patience to where God says, I'm done with them. They're never going to receive me. But you know what? He doesn't stop till he gets them. The intensity, the passion that's portrayed. But I also want you to think about the personal involvement. Listen, the shepherd got his hands dirty. He did something. He went out there himself. Listen, that's why he came. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he was crucified. That's why he took the nails. That's why he took the beating. That's why he took the slaps and the spitting and the smacking and all the rest that he took that we've talked about before. That's why he took it, because he cares about the lost. That's why he came. That's why he was crucified. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't look down on us and say, wow, they got a lot of potential. Wow, they're really close. No, we were yet sinners. There was no potential in us. There was no hope for us without him. But he still came, and while we were yet sinners, he still died for us. And that's why he cares. Listen, if you happen to be somebody in this room tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, that's why people come and knock on your door. And that's why we keep inviting you to church and stay on you. Listen, because Jesus cares. Because Jesus cares. That's why the preaching of the Word of God is thundered forth every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And a clear presentation of the gospel is always given. You know why? Because He cares. He cares to see people get saved. That's why a bus or a van comes down your neighborhood every Sunday, because Jesus cares. That's why the pool of the Holy Spirit is there. And when you're in church and the preaching's getting hot and heavy, the Holy Spirit's tapping on your heart saying, why don't you go down there and receive that? Because He cares. He's involved. He's personally involved. And folks, I want you to see the last subpoint under this. The people that are implicated. That's us. We're implicated. I want you to see this. First of all, the perspective. I like this. Jesus doesn't give any wiggle room here. Verse number 4, check this out. He gives a parable for men. Guys, this is for you. Verses 4 through 7. What man of you having 100 sheep? He's directing it towards the men. Check out verse number 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? You see this? Jesus saying, I'm getting all y'all right here. The perspective. Listen, He's saying the woman's not going to have a sheep that she lost. She's not going to care too much about that, right? You say, what does sheep portray in 2014? Probably football, something like that, you know? Listen, but He gives an illustration for the men so that they can wrap their mind around it. He says, all right, ladies, I'll give you one too. You're losing money. No, I'm just kidding. Some of your husbands are like, yeah, they're still doing it, right? But listen, the lady, she's cleaning up around the house. She loses a piece of silver. You better believe her attention is drawn to that. Where is it? Let me go find it. Listen, God wants us, men and women, to care about the lost. That's right. He wants us all. Listen, when we go places, when we're doing things out in society, He wants us to think about it. He wants our focus to be on it. He wants our focus to be on what is lost. And by the way, it's a privilege that we have. Paul says, as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we preach, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. You know what he's saying? God's allowed us to be entrusted with the gospel. Amen. You think about all that Jesus went through so that people could be saved. And you ponder that for a moment and then realize that we're the ones that are entrusted with that responsibility to get the message out, not just to Bowie or to our region, but to all nations. That's a big responsibility. That's a big privilege that we have. Yes. And listen, folks, there ought to be some passion in us. Amen. To care for the lost. Yes, listen, go after the lost. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what that's saying? You need to care a little bit about it. That's right. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know what the precious seed is? The gospel. Listen, we take the gospel of the lost and dying world. Let's put some care into it. Let's put some personal attention into it. The Bible says we should go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Care about it. Urge them. Be aggressive about it to get them in. The concentration of the shepherd. Listen, how about we join the search and rescue effort? Amen. All of us. Listen, folks, not just for the important people in the church. All of us should be soul winners. Not for the ones that have a status. Are you a bus captain, Sunday school teacher, high up in the church? Have you gained a status in Woodlawn? Well, no, I just kind of come from time to time. Listen, you need to be a soul winner. Amen. That's right. You need to get the gospel out to people. Listen, if you want to know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that we could teach you. Listen, we don't have it all figured out, but we could help you with it. Listen, you can give out tracts. Even if you don't know how to witness to someone right now, you can give them a tract. That'll give them the gospel in that form right there. The crisis of the sheep, the concentration of the shepherd. And lastly, number 3, the celebration at salvation. The celebration at salvation. Verses 5 through 7. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. By the way, that whole 99 just persons that need no repentance, that's people that think they don't need to repent. Okay? There's not anyone that doesn't need to repent. Okay? He says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13. Okay? So everybody needs to repent. These people just don't think they do. But the celebration at salvation, I'd like you to call your attention to verse number 5, the general picture there. And when he hath found it, again, this shepherd founds his lost sheep,
He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Can you imagine that? This is why earlier on I said perhaps this sheep is even hurt or lame somehow, has somehow hurt itself as it's gotten astray. This beautiful picture of our Savior. Listen, for anyone that will turn from their sins and trust in him, he goes and Jesus does the rest. And I like the picture of it. He picks this sheep up, carries it on his shoulders all the way home.
Amen.
Listen, folks, when you turn to Christ, all you did was just say, okay, take me.
Amen.
He did all the rest. What a beautiful picture that is. That Christ came to where you were. Listen, it wasn't a popular part of town. You didn't have it all going on in your life. You were probably messed up. You were probably struggling. You were probably hurt. You were probably lame like this sheep was. And he came to where you were, and all you had to do is accept him as your Savior. And from there on, he's taken you and gently held you to himself and carried you home. That's the God that we serve, folks. We don't, listen. We don't serve Allah. We don't serve Buddha. We don't serve all them phonies. We serve Jesus Christ. That's my Savior.
Amen.
The gentle picture. And I want you to see also, verse number 5 at the end of it, it says he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Skip down to verse number 7, and then we're also going to look another place. Verse number 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Skip down to verse number 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, all the time we talk about the angels are rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. Strike up the choir and all that stuff. Yeah, you know who else is rejoicing? God himself. God gets a little bit excited when somebody comes down the aisle and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. God gets happy. I'm glad about that. The shepherd is rejoicing. Christ himself. Listen, not just the angels, not just the host of heaven. Listen, God himself. It's a big deal to God when people get saved. Do you realize that? It's a big deal to God when people get saved. My question is it a big deal to you?
Amen.
Is it a big deal to you? In verse number 6, check this guy out. After he finds the sheep, after he rejoices himself, he comes back. When he comes home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. This guy is gathering everybody up. Come over to my house. We got a party, you know. Why? Because I found my sheep that was lost. He's gathering everybody up. This is a big deal to him. A big celebration. And folks, and as I already read verses 7 and 10, there's glory in heaven. All heaven rejoices. That song, The Value of One. Jesus didn't say there have to be 5, so there's a celebration, or 10, or 100. He said 1. Would be to God that this Sunday and all the time we set off celebration after celebration after celebration in heaven because of sinners coming to Christ. Listen, folks, as I said, it's a big deal to God when people get saved. Is it a big deal to you?
Amen.
I remember years ago talking to the fellows in my class. And, you know, when we have someone accept Christ as their Savior, they usually come up to the front, fill out a card, and then pastor says, you know, this person's accepted Jesus as their Savior, and we're all kind of over there. They probably didn't mean it, you know. What's the score? Did they score yet? Man. What is their problem? And we're distracted. You know what, folks? We should really care when people get saved.
Amen.
We should truly be genuinely happy when people get saved.
Amen.
When they come up here and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, listen, we should care about that.
Amen.
So, man, that's great. Wonderful. I'm excited about it. You know why? Because it's a big deal to God.
Right.
It brings a smile to his face. He cares about it. And he gathers everyone together, and there's glory in heaven over one sinner repenting. So I just wanted to take some time tonight and talk about the crisis of the sheep, how people are lost without Jesus Christ out there. They don't have anybody to turn to. They don't have anybody to help them through the hardships of life. But think about also the picture of our Savior, the concentration of the shepherd, that he cares, that he's intense, he's passionate, he's personally involved. That's why he came. That's why he was crucified. And that's why he cares for you. And the implication for us, listen, Jesus says, listen, I want you to care about it just as much as I do. I want you to care about souls just as much as I do. And listen, when people come down or when people trust Christ as their Savior, there's a celebration at salvation. There's a great time of rejoicing when people get saved. Listen, that's what it's about. That's what it's all about.
My encouragement to you tonight is this. Go after the lost.
Amen.
Let's go after the lost. Listen, you say, well, I have, Tom. I've been doing it for years. That's great. Let's keep going after the lost.
Amen.
Let's keep being intense. Let's keep being aggressive about it. Listen, if you haven't gotten involved, if you haven't gotten going with serving the Lord, listen, there's no time like the present.
Amen.
2004, Easter, Sunday of 2004, Kenny, is when I first went on your van. So 10 years ago, this Sunday, is the first time I got on Brother Kenny's van route. And I didn't know what I was doing. You've heard me probably tell the stories before. But I jumped in. I got involved somewhere. And God has used that to these last 10 years. I stayed on his route for 5 or 6 months, and then God transitioned me over to bus 4 going to Langley Park. And I love serving God.
Amen.
And I'm glad it's a privilege that I get to serve God. And I have a good time doing it. There's all kinds of things that will happen. And listen, you'll have the greatest time of your life doing it. But you know what? You got to get involved somewhere.
Amen.
Listen, let's care about getting the gospel to people. Let's go after the lost. And then once we get these people in, let's care for them. Let's nurture them and let's get them close to him, because that's all that matters. Listen, again, I want to give you this last encouragement. Go after the lost. Go after the lost. Let's do more. Let's do what we can. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for this simple parable, Lord, that we've probably all heard before, but God, such an amazing truth and point and drive that it has. God, I pray you would help all of us to care more about people that are unsaved, Lord. They're all around us. And some of us may think, hey, I've done enough. I do a lot already. God, help us to do more. God, based off of your example on how much you've done for each and every one of us, Lord, we thank you for all the things that you do. We pray that you, God, you would spark a fire in our hearts that would help us to care more about that and do all that we can, endeavor to get people to a saving knowledge of you, Lord. We pray that you would help us with that. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you stand to your feet just for a moment, we'll have a small invitation. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and talk to him about it?